Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Later, I'll be looking at the review panel for the licensing process in the aquaculture sector. But first, a new low-cost loan is now available to farmers. The Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland is making money available to banks for what is effectively a subsidised loan. I've been finding out more and speaking with AIB Agri Advisor Patrick Butterley.
There's serious interest actually in this particular loan. It was announced in the budget, which is a long time ago at this stage, and farmers have been very much aware this was coming down the tracks. And even before the launch of the product on the 31st of January 2000, this year, we had a lot of interest from farmers inquiring about the loan, so that actually when it was up and running on the 1st of February, we had a lot of inquiries and a lot of applications. So there's a lot of interest in it, and it will be drawn down very, very quickly, I expect. It'll be drawn, fully subscribed, well before the closure date of the end of September 2017 this year.
And essentially it's come about as a result of price volatility, delays in payments, fear over Brexit, and cash flow, a major issue for many people.
Yeah, and look, that's what has been aimed at, is a cash flow support loan for the agri sector. You know, farmers have encountered a lot of difficulties, particularly over the last 12 months. Incomes have fallen from where they were. There's been cash flow difficulties. The Brexit has an impact. So all sectors have actually been impacted. And it's something the government has actually, you know, targeted and trying to actually, you know, it was their brainchild. And look, at AIB, you know, along with the other banks, are delighted to be partnering with the Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland to provide practical help and support to farmers facing cash flow challenges. And this particular product and loan facility suits there.
Now, the Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland may not be a household name. Effectively, it is owned by the state, so the state really is giving this money to the banks, and you're going to be able to lend it out at a discounted rate.
Yes, and the interest rate applicable will be an interest rate of 2.95% per annum, and it's fixed for the term of the loan, and loan facilities can be obtained for a period between 1 and 6 years. So it's a very attractive rate of interest. It's not a rate that the bank would be actually able to offer to customers, and it's because of the subsidised nature of it that this very favourable rate of interest is available.
Now, one question I know a lot of people are probably wondering is, can this be used for refinancing other loans which maybe are at a much higher rate?
Yeah, no, and look, that's a typical question that we're getting, and it cannot. There's a number of exclusions that apply, and that is one of them. You cannot actually use it to refinance existing debt. Another exclusion, you know, is there in terms of new investments in fixed assets and future capital expenditure going forward, and, you know, the purchase of breeding stock. It really is essentially to replenish cash flow where it was used to capital, you know, to fund capital expenditure over the last 12 months, 18 months that may have caused, as a result of that, cash flow pressure, or it can be used to meet working capital finance needs over the coming 12 months, or to refinance existing farm creditors. So it's really a cash flow support loan, you know, to be used in that way. So, you know, if farmers were allowed to use it for future capital expenditure, the loan would be drawn down very, very quickly. So it is targeted. Mm. The maximum loan that a farmer can actually avail of is 150,000. Having said that, you know, the average, just when we look at our own loan facilities that would be given out to farmers, the average loan drawdown would be somewhere between 50,000 and 60,000. So, you know, it's quite a generous in terms of, you know, the limit that applies for farmers. So,
and finally, Patrick Butterley, AIB Agri Advisor, you've mentioned the likelihood that this full amount could be drawn down fairly soon before the final deadline is in September. What is the advice to farmers out there now?
Well, look, given the demand that's actually there for the product at the facility, I would urge farmers and to contact a bank, their bank, or ourselves sooner rather than later, because the level of interest that's actually in this loan facility, in this product, this will be drawn down and fully subscribed well before the end of September. And I would urge farmers to prioritise that they actually talk to their bank if they need cash flow support and if they see this loan facility being suitable for them.
Patrick Butterley, AIB Agri Advisor. The Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Michael Creed, has appointed a review panel regarding the licensing process and the associated legal framework in the view of changing legislation for the aquaculture sector. The deadline for submissions was last week. I've been speaking to Richie Flynn, the IFA Aquaculture Executive, about the process, what it could mean, and the scope for the development of the whole aquaculture sector, especially here in Donegal, where further employment and income can be generated. I began by suggesting to him that the review panel is a step in the right direction.
Well, we think so. It's about time, Chris, that the government and the minister, the relevant minister, takes account of the issues that the industry have and that the public have with the aquaculture licensing regime. We've said it's not fit for purpose. We put in a substantive report in 2014. Indicating all of the areas that we thought it wasn't fulfilling its role in terms of creating jobs and exports for coastal communities, and point of view is to get a professional, fit for purpose regime for people who wish to invest in producing seafood along the west coast of Ireland.
Now, it's been said for many years, Ireland, the food island, we tend to think of agricultural produce from the land, and yet this is an area which has so much scope, and particularly so for coastal communities like those in Donegal.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to go to Asia, Donegal oysters have a fantastic reputation there. People know Ireland as a place to produce seafood from in a managed and sustainable way that can be handed on to the next generation, and in a way that that if the government was supportive of the licensing process, that we can continue into the future. But you hit the nail on the head. Quality is the key, and Bord Bia and BIM and various other state agencies have helped Irish producers along the way to promote their quality. And all you have to do is go around and taste local seafood from your local area. And with the Wild Atlantic Way, it has just boomed in the last 2 years.
And encouragingly, consumption is definitely on the rise. There's a higher profile as well, and that should all help kick in and support the industry.
Yes, consumption is on the rise. Irish people are becoming more aware of the benefits of seafood, and the whole local aspect of it is very important, because there's a great story to tell there. In the seafood industry, and in the farm seafood industry in particular, these are people who went out and took a chance, maybe back in as far away as the 1980s, and they started to farm oysters, and they started to talk to each other. They were just fresh out of college, and they have produced an industry which is now worth $150 million and produces a product which is recognized around the world and employs a lot of people. So it's a very important industry around the coast, and particularly in peripheral areas.
Also worth pointing out that because of the standard and the quality of the produce that's coming from Ireland, there can be a premium price as well.
Yes, we do achieve a premium price, but that's all down to the hard work of the men and women who work in those companies. I mean, they have to look after them, and whether you're talking from Malinhead all the way around to Carlingford, it's a tough job, because we are ruled by the tides, particularly in oyster farming, and so it doesn't matter if it's 3 p.m. in the middle of the day or 3 a.m. in the morning, you have to get out there and do your job. and that's what makes this industry different. And it's what adds that story, that Irish story, to Irish mussels, Irish oysters, Irish salmon, Irish trout, clams, seaweed, you name it. People are passionate about what they do.
Many people are perhaps surprised if they look into the figures, just although it's a relatively small industry compared to other sectors of agriculture, the numbers involved and the variety of produce, even in a county like Donegal, is quite remarkable.
Well, agriculture has been around for many thousands of years, and yet we only farm four or five species. But aquaculture, at the last count, I believe, the FAO, which is the United Nations organization, calculated that there were over 200 different species to be farmed in the marine area. So it's quite labor intensive, and it involves a lot of work on the shore, and it involves a lot of different skills, including everything from navigation, health and safety, biology, zoology, and getting back to the office and doing all the paperwork on the computer as well.
Now, you mentioned paperwork, and that brings us back to the whole licensing conundrum, and the less paperwork, the better in many ways. Are we making improvements as more and more of the bureaucracy going online? Can you see light at the end of the tunnel? Are we going to end up with a simplified system that people can clearly know what they can apply for, what the license is needed, what the criteria is?
Well, we very much welcome what Minister Michael Creed has done in setting up the Independent License Review Group, because it was badly needed, and we've been saying this for many, many years, that there needs to be more transparency, more deadlines, sufficient deadlines for people. And when you're applying for a license to farm on the foreshore or on the land, you need to have, in order to attract investment, you need to have certainty over when you're going to get a decision, well, one way or the other. Let's not preempt it. But decision-making processes need to be far more transparent. And also, if you farm and you stick to your conditions and you are a good neighbour and you do what you have to do to create jobs and export, then your renewal should be automatic. It shouldn't be a guessing game every 5 or 10 years.
On occasions, some of the applications to develop, be it oyster beds or whatever, can be controversial, and there has been opposition. But again, the clearer things are, and as you mentioned there, the transparency, that helps everybody.
Absolutely. And the applicants, it has to be remembered that the applicants are only, they have to do what the department tells them to do. It's like, as I say, applying for planning permission. You can't go further than that. You can meet local groups or local individual objectors or whatever out of courtesy, but the legal process is clearly lined out in legislation which has been around for over 20 years. So they are doing what they're being told to do. So where the failings might be at department level, and I'm not blaming them by any manner or means. They're doing their job, but if people feel aggrieved or if they are if they want to have more of an input into things, it's exactly the same as the planning process, and you can't simply object to the legal process.
And finally, Richie Flynn, when Europe looks at us, and you've done a lot of travel in connection with the whole sector, aquaculture in Ireland, what's our standing like within Europe? Do people feel that we're underutilizing the natural resource, and there are no doubt best practices out there to follow. Who should we be following? Where have they got the model right?
We have the model right in Ireland. We have the model right in Ireland because people come here to figure out how we do our job best, whether that be in shellfish or salmon or trout farming or whatever. We have so much experience in this area and so much scientific background on this, on everything from the biology to the environmental impact to the water quality to the food safety standards. We are the model, and people come here looking to us for our information, not the other way around.
All of which augurs well for the future.
I hope so. Let's see what the independent review comes out with. And for the 250 people in Donegal who are dependent on oyster farming alone, and for the people involved in the salmon farming sector, and people who have built their entire careers in aquaculture, I hope it does augur well, because we want to pass on a sustainable business to the next generation.
Richie Flynn, IFA Aquaculture Executive. Just to let you know that Chagos and the National Rural Network are jointly organising an innovative series of evening seminars entitled Expand Your Horizons. The purpose of the seminars is to provide information on the range of agencies, services and funding and training opportunities that are available in rural Ireland. All seminars will run from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. The first of the ones in Donegal is on Wednesday, the 1st of March, in the Villa Rose Hotel in Balbafay. And there will be a second one in Donegal on Tuesday, the 9th of March, in the Inishowen Gateway Hotel in Buncrana. And now for the livestock prices. Cattle, steers making €3.85 a kilo, heifers €3.85 to €3.95 a kilo, bulls R grade €3.75 to €3.85 a kilo, U grade €3.85 a kilo, and cows €3.30 to €3.60 a kilo. Sheep prices, spring lamb €4.80 a kilo to 23 kilos, ewes making €2.60 to €2.75 a kilo. Well, the clock has beaten us once again. That's it for this week. Until next week, many thanks for listening. From me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.